Now, we look at the infection versus recovery rate this morning. And again, welcome the Institute for Communicable Diseases, Professor Lucille Blomberg on the station. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Professor, did you expect the numbers to escalate to the extent that we are seeing at the moment? I mean, it started with 100 or 200 in a 24-hour cycle, jumping to thousands and then 2,000 infections. Would this have been expected all along?
I think this is expected. We are currently seeing a surge in cases. This is in line with COVID pandemic elsewhere in the world. And we're seeing rapid increases actually in many parts of the country. So the Western Cape started, been followed by the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and we're definitely seeing, unfortunately, contrary to what you have mentioned, an increase in cases in KZN. So this is expected, and I think we unfortunately can expect more cases, more deaths, and more patients needing hospitalization. And hospitals are full. Yeah.
You know, Professor, we're going to be discussing the levels of lockdown and the wisdom of lockdowns compared to other countries for a long, long time. And this discussion is not going to go away anywhere soon. Now, would it have made any difference if we remained on level 4 lockdown as were compared to our, you know, level 3 announcement a few weeks ago, forcing people to remain at home in a level 4 or 5? Would that have made much difference?
So the reality is the lockdown has, I think, was put in place initially to allow hospitals and health facilities to prepare for the surge that was predicted and inevitable. But the lockdown cannot continue because of the, you know, in the same way because of the dire socioeconomic effects. And it's up to everybody now to protect themselves and to apply what we call non-pharmaceutical interventions, and to ensure that they are wearing masks when they go into a public space or in a taxi or where they can't socially distance, to absolutely apply the rules of social distancing, more than a meter, wash hands, wash surfaces. Everybody needs to take responsibility for that now and protect each other.
You know, we have spoken about the rising infection rate, you know, for some time now. But regarding recovery, is there something for us to be, or is the recovery rate something that we should be, somewhat on the positive side regarding?
You know, so, you know, a large number of infected people, particularly those who are young, who don't have underlying medical problems, will have mild disease, some will even be asymptomatic, and for the most part will recover. So that's, you know, a good message. Unfortunately, there is a significant proportion of persons who've got underlying medical problems, hypertension, diabetes, who may be obese, who may have cancer on therapy, who may experience severe disease. And so it's critically important that those who are at risk for complications must obey those non-pharmaceutical interventions, and those around them must do so to protect the vulnerable group. That's where we're seeing the deaths, the severe disease, and we must not underplay that. I think many people are looking at the lockdown releases, you know, things are good. There is a major surge, and we cannot release our guard now.
You know, Professor, how is it determined whether someone has passed on from COVID-19 and not another underlying disease? We've seen that those that have passed on, practically all of them, living with comorbidities, having other underlying issues, be it your diabetes or your heart disease. But how would a medical situation determine that the cause of death or the fatality was as a result of C-19 as opposed to the other condition?
So that is a difficult issue, and you know, there'll be many discussions around that. There is a definition. It's a definition for a surveillance or monitoring purposes. If the person has a positive COVID test or is a probable case, everything kind of fits, and they have a clinical picture that is in keeping with COVID, mostly a lung infiltration and pneumonia, even in the presence of other causes of severe illness, that would be regarded as a COVID death. So, you know, in some cases it is difficult given the, you know, the comorbidities, the other illnesses we've mentioned. But, you know, I think that definition can mostly apply to what we're seeing as and being described as COVID death.
You know, in reporting that where it could possibly be reported that we have got 3,000 deaths or 3,500, you know, Professor, we have to understand that the public is always concerned that are you reporting deaths from other situations as COVID deaths? And it obviously creates that level of, you know, panic or concern or anxiety in the population. So are we overstating the number of deaths? And we've heard this conversation for a long time now. Yeah. That death certificates are showing C19 when the person probably died from cardiac arrest.
Well, you know, everybody has a cardiac arrest at the end. That's the final common event. I think, you know, people do consider, was it the underlying disease? Is this just a coincidental finding? And there is a clinical evaluation. Also, the death certificates allow you to put COVID and then contributing causes. To be honest, I think we're in many cases underestimating the number of deaths. People are dying in the community. People are dying in care homes. Some die without a confirmation, but are likely COVID cases. So I don't think the 3,000 cases attributed to COVID as deaths really is an overestimate. I think, you know, the message at the moment is very clear. We're in the surge. Comorbidities, older people, the comorbidities we've mentioned absolutely have a risk for complications. We need to be responsible. I think people who are at risk for complications or those who live with people who are at risk for complications should really try and distance. I think social gatherings, cultural, funeral events are really gatherings of great concern where, you know, people don't always follow the rules of distancing and masking. And I think this is a very difficult and concerning time for COVID in South Africa. And we need to look after ourselves and people around us.
Finally, Professor, can we beat the virus? I mean, there have been incidences of severe viruses having come and gone in South Africa and globally for that matter. Will COVID be the same way or will we have to use some interventions here?
Well, you know, there's a lot of work at the moment on developing vaccines. So, you know, that's something that we are looking to for the future. I think we can expect COVID to, you know, after this first wave to go and then come back. That's been the experience in many other places. I think at this moment in time, it's very difficult to predict which way it's going to go. But currently, this is where we are in the surge. Beware and take care.
Professor Lucille Bloomberg, thank you so much for joining us this morning on radio. Have yourself a good day.